joining us for a special edition of the Piffles Podcast. You guys know them very well. Social media and like YouTube extraordinaires.
Wait for it. Extraordinaires?
Extraordinaires. Wow. Okay, that's right.
Okay, perfect.
Justin and Greg, thanks so much for joining us, guys.
I've heard worse. I've heard morons. Comedians made my wife laugh.
Yeah, so that's funny.
We're not that.
Real comedians are these guys making us share a mic tonight. It's like, it's uncomfortable and it's
so
awkward.
Hey, it's okay, guys. Okay, cool.
Usually we describe ourselves as like toothpaste and orange juice. It's really uncomfortable, but like you'd probably do it again.
Effective. I mean, wards away colds and cavities.
Yeah, it's weird, so but it's like memorable.
Okay,
so
cool.
Now, first off, Kay, you guys are kind of hitting it big here on YouTube and social media and everything.
Because we're on the Piffles Podcast.
That's exactly why.
We've arrived.
And not only that, I've heard you on the radio and some guy named John Gormley actually had you guys on
Never
a few
heard of
times.
Her.
Does anyone call him Big John?
All the time.
Like the Godfather?
Or how about Little John?
It's got to be.
The John Father? No, it's probably not.
Yeah, okay.
So what made you guys get started into doing podcasts and into the social media world?
You want me to start?
Yeah, sure.
So for me, I was working in an agency job. I worked at an agency job for 4.5 years, and I was ready for a change. And I love making content. I love being in front of the camera, not behind it. I also love not answering client emails. And it was kind of like Justin. I met Justin. He was kind of almost a stranger, truthfully.
Yeah.
My wife knew him from a past life.
Yeah, we
like went
11.
To school together. Yeah. And I met him on social media a couple of times. I'm like, we should grab coffee. Grab coffee two, maybe three times. The third time, you're like, hey, let's start a Facebook Live show. And at that point in my life, I needed an outlet. And Facebook Live apparently was my outlet. So I said yes. And after the second episode, he said, why don't you quit your job and let's just start a business together?
Which was good timing for you.
Yeah, because I did just given birth, or my wife just given birth to a child. And so she was on mat leave, a new child. And I was like, yeah, let's just throw more change at it. Quit my job. And I started a business with a stranger.
Yeah. And me, I'm just an extreme narcissist because I'm a millennial. So I'm like, everything and let me soak up the dopamine. So I don't know. I'm a creative guy. I love making stuff. And it's fun to make stuff on the internet. And what's cool about the internet is you can reach far beyond your own city and into all sorts of other places around the world. So I think that's fun.
Yeah, and I think the crux for you and I is we both believe that you can have a global impact from anywhere on the planet thanks to this thing called the internet. And so we're trying to do that from here in Regina.
Are you going to be singing stuff all night long?
I'm feeling it.
All night long.
Some jingles. But that's the heart of what we want to do, is to say, listen, you live in Regina, you live in Saskatoon, you live in small town Saskatchewan. You can have an impact, and we're committed to trying to tell that story. So
yeah. So whether we're filming the intro for the Vegas Golden Knights or getting 10 million views on a video about Uber in Saskatchewan, the CEO of Uber watched and he loved it. He said it was funny. To now we're trying to hand deliver Experience Regina T-shirts to Jimmy Fallon.
We're gonna talk about that in just a little bit as well too.
Okay,
so
cool.
be ready for that.
I don't know, narcissism.
Now, when you started doing this with that coffee shop meeting, did you ever think it would have blown up the way it has for you?
I'm not a planner, so I can't say that.
Yeah.
To me, it was like, I hope that we make the first week. And I mean, we made it first month and then the second month. And, you know, now we're still going. So I think every day for me is a gift. And I would say no. I'm super thankful. But now it's like, wait a minute, maybe we can dream bigger. Maybe try more stuff. And
I was frankly a little bit shocked that people came back and watched the second Facebook Live show after the first one. And it's funny, like looking back where we set up like a black sheet on the wall and a camera.
You cut letters out of paper and like taped
them. That was the second episode. We cut letters out and put it on the back.
Ooh, fun
kind of
with
what
flags.
It is now. But it's just like, just try stuff. I don't know. So I don't think we had any hopes of it, becoming what it is. And in some ways too, that was more of like a side project. Like we had like a consulting company that we worked with companies on, and now we mostly moved all those people away and are trying to make a go at this, so who knows?
Yeah, easier said than done, but it's happening.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, you may see us soon, you know, at the end of Prince of Wales here with a sign saying, hungry, you know, anything will help.
Or no, the new one's, here's a resume.
Oh yeah, resume. That works really well, too. So anyway.
So at what moment was the holy crap, this thing is taken off?
That's a great question.
If you ask my bank account, it hasn't happened yet.
For me, I would say, okay, so when we made it the first year almost, it would be like, that would have been last January or this past January. It was like, wow, it did. And after a year, it kind of felt like we had some momentum where people were like, okay, you're not just fly by night crew. And then that February, Premier Scott Moe was on the show. And for me, that was like, oh, okay, people are starting to give us not respect, but they're starting to trust us a little bit. And then after that, it was probably
I know my moment was we were in Vegas the first time. We're supposed to have a sponsor that was going to pay our way down. They ghosted us and we're like, let's just go anyway. Because the fans were asking us to come down after, you know, a couple of videos. And the first time we went down there, we asked. We had done a whole bunch of stuff with the premiere and made some videos and they had gone kind of nuts. And we were in contact with the Golden Knights organization. And we're like, we're coming down there. Can you help us out with some tickets or access?
Yeah, I don't know. We said, like, can you help us out with any, like, just make it special for us in some way. Even a custom note that says, hey, would have been enough for me.
Honestly, special wise, Golden Knights tickets are flipping expensive. Yeah. Like, we were flying to LA for the first game and it was like $30 US. And then the Golden Knights were like $130 US. And we're like, start doing the math. We're like,
so secretly, we're like, maybe ticket?
Yeah, we're just hoping to, like, maybe get some free tickets. And then,
and backstory, we had already interviewed their Twitter guy.
Yeah, on our podcast.
And so we had some relationship with them to say, hey, we're coming down. Yeah.
And we had asked the premier about it and they appreciated that. So they're like, here's two NHL media passes, you know, to the locker room and everything. And that felt special. But the real moment was we were going in there and Greg's like a serious hockey buff and had a hockey podcast.
Oh my goodness. It was the coolest. I'm sitting there going, I'm living a dream come true right now. My favorite player, Marc-Andre Fleury, wasn't playing that game. So I didn't get to see him. But I'm like, I'm standing in an NHL locker room, a dad, in this business where we're just trying, we're making content. I'm like, this is actually happening right now. Like, that's James Neal right now. He's answering my questions that don't make sense.
But when you were going in there, you were a little bit almost intimidated. I remember we showed up there, and you can see it all in the vlog of it, is you weren't wearing your signature tennis band because you didn't want to disrespect, and you didn't know how people were going to take it, and we'd never done anything like this before. And so we walk in there. You had left your tennis band back at the hotel, and the in-game host sees us, and he's like, you guys, we love you guys. And, like, we were so uncomfortable just trying to find our way down there. And he's like, Bruce, come over here. And Bruce is the in-game announcer. And he's like, these guys, like, I just watched your video yesterday. We love you guys. And that was the moment where, like, whoa. Like, we're having an impact from way up in Saskatchewan that these guys who work for the team love what we're doing. That was the moment where I was like, this is special.
That was a great moment.
And you went back and got your tennis band.
I think I was like, I don't know if I was wearing it then or not, but yeah, it was like, whoa. And that was literally, we had just walked into T-Mobile.
Yeah.
The first people we saw were these guys. It was kind of like, okay.
And it's kind of a constant reminder for us because, you know, like, what got us here is what we need to keep doing. And sometimes it can be, feel like we need to change a little bit to do something different.
Yeah. And I don't want to do anything different.
So who knows?
The Vegas connection. Why the Vegas Golden Knights? Being Saskatchewan's team.
Okay, so the Vegas Golden Knights thing, everyone thinks like, hey man, how'd you guys get on like the game 5 of the Stanley Cup final Nitron sort of thing? We're like, well, here's how it happened. It was, we were doing our show for a while and we kind of wanted an outlet to talk about more marketing, seriously advertising stuff. And we thought like, who's someone we could approach and talk to that's a little bit interesting, but not, you know, like, but not like easy. And so we thought, you know who's doing cool stuff is like Vegas Golden Knights Twitter feed. Is actually really cool, and I love the NHL, so I'm like, they're actually doing something different. They actually have a personality for once. So I reached out to the guy on LinkedIn and said, hey, can I interview you on our podcast? And he said, yeah, off the record, but on the record, you have to talk to my boss.
Yeah, and so he handed us over the VP of Communications, his email address, and said, here, email Eric. And so we email Eric, and Eric emails back, rightly so. He's like, who are you guys, and can you tell me more about your outlet? You know, and it's fair because it's amazing because we just swung for the fences. Like, we thought there was probably no chance, and here we have a chance. But he's saying, like, tell us more about who you are. And I was like, well, why don't we actually show him? Let's make a video, because that's what we do. And I thought at first the video was just going to be us explaining to Eric who we were and trying to convince him. But then we came up with this idea of, no, like, I bet Saskatchewan could adopt the team, because we just started thinking about the other teams around here who, I don't know, we're not really big fans of. I mean, Edmonton's 18 first-round draft picks. They still can't win. Calgary, their own city, doesn't even want them. They don't care about building a new arena. Winnipeg, you can't cheer for the Jets in the winter and the Riders in the summer.
This is a great point.
You can't do that. Those fans spit on you in the summertime, and you can't cheer for them in the wintertime. And so Winnipeg is out, and we're like, well, who do we cheer for? We're not cheering for the Leafs or the Habs or things. We're like, we've only got two direct flights to the States, Phoenix and Vegas. And where do you want to go between those two? The place we already all go. And it's so flipping cold in the wintertime here. We need a reprieve, but we still need to keep our voices warm for the Riders during the wintertime. So we're like, Vegas. It just made sense.
Yeah, so we did that, did the video, sent it back to Eric. He's like, yeah, I love it. Feel free to interview the guy. And we're like, oh my goodness, we interviewed. Yeah. So we did the interview with Dan Mraz at the time, and no one listened to it or watched it, but we loved it.
Yeah.
But the video, in the meantime, unexpectedly went nuts down in Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, I got like 100,000 views, and we're like, oh, that's cool. That was like the first big, you know, hit for us. And then we realized, talking to the people in Vegas, that they're actually very much like the people of Saskatchewan. Yeah. Like, very much. They love fishing. They love hunting. When you think about Vegas, you think of the Las Vegas Strip, and everyone does. But down there, when you're talking the residents and the locals, they don't think, like, that's work to them.
They hate the Strip.
Yeah, they go there maybe once a year when they have a friend visiting that wants to go to the Strip. But they're actually very, like, I would say, like, similar, like, hardworking, kind of blue-collary, you know. Even, like, there's small things. Like, the craft beer scene right outside of T-Mobile, like, if you've ever been around...
The beer house.
Yeah, beer house. If you've ever been around the state, sometimes you try craft beer and you're like, nope, not doing it for me. But there, they love craft beer and they love rurally things, which we also love here. And they're very similar, kind, generous, hardworking people. And so we really made the connection. The other thing we forgot to mention is, at the time, the Golden Knights had more Canadians on their team than any team except for Ottawa when we made the original video. And then going to the playoffs, they had the most Canadians. You know, and so that was another big part, plus our boy from Davidson, Saskatchewan, Braden McNabb. So, you know, there were so many good reasons. And once we met the fans and they fell in love with the story, and it was just, I don't know, serendipitous.
It was love at first or second sight. And then from then on, now it's a thing, kind of, maybe. We'll see. We'll see what this year holds in for us. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've mentioned the fans of Vegas and their connection with Saskatchewan. Now, we've seen some of their fans come up and become Rider fans overnight. Are we now Vegas's football team?
Yeah. We definitely are. Like, their fans were in, and it's hard to explain this up here because we were like, yeah, that's cool. You guys want Vegas, like, whatever, move on. No, they actually really like us.
Yeah.
Like, when we're down in Vegas for the games, I mean, they love Saskatchewan. There are two 55-year Vegas residents that go to every single Vegas game with a full-size Saskatchewan flag.
Yeah.
Because they love this province that they've never been to. All they know is us, and they assume that we represent everyone in this room and listening to this podcast. Yeah. And it goes beyond that.
Yeah, and it's neat to see that, like, Marc-Andre Fleury is this dog that got, like, national fame.
Greatest dog ever.
Greatest dog ever.
Really,
he wears Rider jerseys all the time. They were organizing watch parties down there. Like, it's pretty special to see everybody ordering merch and getting on Twitter and doing group orders to split the shipping. You know, really coming together.
Insane. And local celebrity up here, Ray Elgar, lives in Vegas. Die hard Vegas Golden Knights fans. So when we were doing this whole movement, Ray texted us and said, guys, I'm on board to make this a thing. How can I make this happen? And he's still on board. He's pounding the pavement being like, he was actually going to go to the watch party, but it didn't end up working out. So the next one.
Yeah. And I got to say, that's the moment I knew our show made it, was when Marc-Andre Fleury followed us. That was it.
See, I thought it was when Ray Elgar talked to us.
Yeah.
No, actually, getting to the Riders just a little bit. We understand that you were assistants to Craig Reynolds.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, I mean, Craig's a really tough boss. I'm sure you guys get that. I mean, we had our work cut out for us,
yeah,
for sure.
I mean, we lasted about half a day. We were his executive assistants. They were hiring a new executive assistant. We thought, hey, why don't we try out? They knew they could get two for the price of one. So we went in for the day. There's a whole video about it. But, things didn't go well. He's picky about his coffee. He doesn't like having his laundry ruined.
Here's the thing about Craig, though. He's really hard to read, okay? So we're right next to him, like right next to his office. He's got a glass door. You can see him, and he's never smiling.
No.
He's never smiling. So you never know when to go in and when it's okay because, you know, he never looks up from his work. He never smiles. And so you always feel bad for interrupting him. And so we don't want to do it. And sure enough, we panic and book the wrong flights. And it was like... You know what, Craig?
He said London. He didn't say London, Ontario.
Right.
It
can happen
to
anyone.
Very different. But also, we have had lots of experience with Craig over Hope's Home, which I know you guys also cause near and dear to your heart. And Craig is very funny. He's very cutting, and he's really fun. Just, we did not make it as his assistants.
No, and probably, so. I mean, truthfully, probably for the best, because we wouldn't have done well.
No.
No, we wouldn't have done well.
No.
As you just mentioned, your Reynolds YouTube video, your videos have exploded. Your Rural Direction one is over 10 million views. Just how much work do you guys put into these videos from start to finish?
More than I want to say, probably on the podcast. Like, this is, we are constantly working on something. Whether you see it or not, we're constantly working on it. And a lot of what people don't see is the failures, the things that didn't go well. Like, we have a ton of videos. I think you said today, between the two of us, 500 plus videos over the past, you know, few years. And a lot of those videos didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's those videos, those failures that have allowed us to be successful today.
And that video with 10 million views, I mean, we met for coffee with our friends, Wyatt and Zach, the Heiberg brothers. Wyatt runs Meemaw in Saskatchewan. This Facebook page has got about 100,000 people just about to crack over. And we're always, like, trying to figure out stuff together. And they've helped us film and do two things. But, like, we met for coffee. It was one of the ideas that came up in 15 minutes. We shot it in about 30 minutes at your father-in-law's acreage. And it was edited in the next 20 minutes by the time we got back to the coffee shop, pretty much, and it was posted. So that whole video was maybe about 90 minutes or 2 hours. The thing that you don't see is there's one where we did a rap video tribute to LA Gear. I don't know if you remember the light-up shoes that when
so
we were
cool.
kids were so cool. And we probably put
days.
We wrote it.
We wrapped it.
We recorded it.
We filmed it.
We filmed it. We put all this work into it. We spent hundreds of dollars on shoes. And it has like 200 views.
And,
you know,
and,
so,
I've seen that one actually.
LA Gear liked the tweet that it was in. I was like, wow, that was a lot of work for a like.
That was something. And so you never actually know. And even like the rural Uber video that has all the views, the part we accidentally stumbled on and hit that one because we didn't realize that kids rode around in the buckets of tractors everywhere on farms. Like that is a thing that if you grew up on a farm, you rode in the bucket of a tractor. And that was just a line that your father-in-law came up with where he's like, hop in the bucket seats and don't forget to buckle up. He came up with that on the spot. We got in the bucket, and that was the reason it was shared all those times.
Yeah,
like, so that was a big part of everybody's comments.
It went nuts in Texas. The Texans thought it was hilarious. They loved it, and now there's a lot of Texas fans watching our stuff.
Yeah, and there's other things, too, where people don't, like, you know, we're getting some, you know, good interviews and more high-profile stuff, but... Like, ask us about the time when Jerry D called security on us because we went a little bit overboard. And
I heard briefly about this. So actually, Jerry D made fun of me while I was sitting at a front row at a show. Actually, I was wearing a Rider jersey. It was the day before a game in Calgary, I think. And so it had Ronald Williams' name on the back of the jersey. And he looks at it. Williams, is that your last name? No. What's your name, Alex? You think Ronald Williams walks around wearing a Mr. Lube Alex jersey all day long? So, I mean, that was pretty cool. But so he actually, like, called security on you guys, though.
We talked about swinging for the fences. And so, I mean, I was on Twitter trying to get Jerry's attention. And I knew that he ran his own Twitter account. And he wouldn't respond to us. And so I just said one day, hey, guess what, guys? We're having Jerry on the show. I can't wait. It's going to be amazing. And just, you know, see if I could bait him into saying something. And then he responded and said, I have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
I'm not coming on the show. I'm sorry. Like, this is not happening. And I was like, I got him. I got him right where I want him. And then I had this brilliant thought of like, don't worry, Jerry. I tweeted this. We're going to bring the show to you.
We got VIP tickets.
Yeah, we spent like $400 for us and our wives to go to the show, get a meet and greet with Jerry to be like, we're going to push our way into this and it's going to happen. He's going to be so pumped that we're doing all this for him.
And we spent the entire day making a video. Like we went to Staples and made signs and went to the highway to try and welcome him.
And I was
like,
calling him Gary D all day. It was so funny.
We made t-shirts. We did like this whole big shtick. We walk into the Kinexus Art Center. And this girl's waiting there for us. She's like, Justin and Greg? We're like, yes, he knows.
This is our moment.
And she basically comes over. She's like, all right, we know where your seats are. There will be no cameras of any kind. In your meet and greet, don't talk to Jerry. Take your photo. Get in. Get out. Security is watching you guys.
So there's our wives are smiling in the photo, but not us. Jerry not even looking at us. Like, just get out of here. It was awkward, and it was like, well, you know, you lose a lot.
Learning lessons, too. But I think we'll run to Jerry someday and have a laugh about it, but who knows?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So another comedian that you guys are looking to try and get with here, Jimmy Fallon. We were trying to get him to Experience Regina.
Mm-hmm.
As we know that they played the Experience Regina song.
Experience Regina. I'm sure you guys play on the song all the time or on the show.
We don't play it enough. That's the problem.
Yeah, I guess.
But so you guys are looking at trying to get to New York to go see Jimmy Fallon and to convince him to Experience Regina. What goes into that?
Well, I mean, we filmed the Jimmy Fallon video. So, I mean, the story is Jimmy Fallon made fun of the Experience Regina song on his show, being like, this is a song you should never listen to. And he laughed and, you know, it was about Regina. And then I think it was a few days later or maybe a day later, the mayor tweeted about it and said, hey, Jimmy, come Experience Regina. Aren't we all from Regina? And I thought, hey, mayor, that's a pretty decent joke.
Yeah, I'm not sure who wrote it, but that's, you know, that's fine. But we were trying to come up with like a video to kind of respond and do to it. And we couldn't actually think about anything. And again, we were with the Heiberg brothers and we did this whole rural Uber one that kind of went nuts. But it was like, as soon as that finished, somehow when we were sitting around chatting,
literally the same day,
in the morning, it was 11 o'clock. And we're like, we should tour a life-size cutout of Jimmy Fallon around Regina. I don't know where it came from, but you called Sleek Signs, and they were like, yeah, we can have it done in an hour. So we went and picked it up, toured it around, and, you know, it got almost 200,000 views, and then we started a petition, and the petition got a bunch, and so we're like, but nothing really happened.
Yeah, so kind of a funny side story is, while this was all happening, we're capturing on stories, a guy, Chris Wanner, works at Connexus Credit Union, said, hey, Jimmy, you've been following this random guy from Regina for years now. Why don't you finally come and experience it? And we said, hey, Chris, like, he follows you? Like,
Jimmy Fallon follows this guy, and nobody knows why.
Right, and on Twitter, we're like, wait a minute, we can DM him because he follows you. And we said, hey, Chris, will you DM him our video we just made so we know that he sees it? He's like, absolutely, guys. So he DMs him, and 22 minutes later, Jimmy Fallon responded to the mayor and said, hey, looks cool.
Looks pretty.
Looks pretty.
Let's talk.
Let's talk.
So that was 3 days. The mayor tweeted him. 3 days later, we make the video. We send it to him. 22 minutes later, he responds to the mayor. So I don't know.
All of Regina goes crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, like, this is our moment. And then the mayor said, like, my people will call your people. And I'm like, we had him right there. And now we're like stuck in like the phone tree and talking to operators. And so we want to close the loop. We want to represent the mayor and the city and have everyone be like, okay, guys, we're going to send you as ambassadors to the show, and we're going to get Jimmy a T-shirt. Because I think, you know, honestly, for the Tonight Show, they need to know that we want that. Because for them, like, they've got millions of followers, and they've got an audience. And if we can make this big enough for them, maybe they'll actually give us some real attention.
And maybe it can be a running joke. And that's fine, because sometimes you see these things in here, and it becomes, like, long-term. But Regina needs to play on the world stage more often, and so we're just going to kind of try and do our part to make that happen. And we're ambassadors for Tourism Regina, and we just think, like, we'll put together a whole care package, we'll take it there, but the goal is just, like, get them to wear the T-shirt on national television or even just take a photo in it. Well, whatever.
Needs to happen.
Really quick, what goes into that care package?
That's what we were talking about.
I mean, they get a little bit old, but Italian-star deli sandwiches, for me, is a must.
Getting them across Trump's border would be tough, too. Because there's fresh meat in that.
Craft beer. I mean, we have an insane craft beer scene here, so we need to put a whole bunch of that in.
Yeah, I really want to put a pothole in there, too.
That'd be important. I think maybe some trains.
Yeah, like the Thomas the Tank Engine. Like, the ours are bigger and they're way more
inconvenient. A picture of a train crossing Ring Road.
Yeah, it'd be great. The mattress that's on Ring Road, we could bring a piece of that.
I'd love to put it out, actually, to the city and be like, hey, what actually should go in here? Because we got good music scene here, too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And the things that we can be proud
of. Say.
So. Yeah,
put him in the basket.
Let's build it. Let's take it. And honestly, if a whole movement of the city of Regina and ultimately Saskatchewan got behind it, I think that they would blink.
I also like that our sister city, Las Vegas, would also get in on it too, and they would be pumped to see it, you know, on the national stage. And I think really all of Saskatchewan's like, hey, let's just keep elevating who we are, because we get looked down on sometimes.
Yeah, I don't. Why?
Probably the mattress.
Yeah,
could be there.
Now we are a Rider fan podcast. We got to look at a little bit of football here, but we want to have a little bit of fun with it. And we kind of talked about it a little bit, you know, pre-recording. Terrell Owens coming to Saskatchewan, perhaps. Who are some other classic football players that need to be up in the CFL or in Saskatchewan right now?
Warren Moon.
Yeah, we talked.
He's a friend of the show, actually.
Oh, great. Okay, good. He'd still, I think, be great.
Yeah, I pay big bucks to see Bo Jackson play.
Oh, yeah. I fell in love with the Riders Tecmo Super Bowl for the NES in 92. The Raiders. Did I say Riders? Yeah. Raiders. Yeah. Bo Jackson's so good.
Anything like that, I'm there in a heartbeat. And honestly, if Terrell Owens comes, I will buy another set of season tickets that I already have just to be like, I'm so pumped that you're here. Do whatever you want.
Because, and then, I mean, all the people have Chad Owens jerseys.
Right?
It's great.
They're used again. Just change the number. It's brilliant marketing.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You know, he might be a little bit too big time for us now.
Yeah. I would like to see who was in Little Giants. Who was the main character? Was it Ice?
Icebox.
Icebox.
I want to see Icebox on the big time. Mm-hmm. It's about time we see Icebox. And maybe even...
Tim Tebow? How good would it be to see Tim Tebow?
Again, I would pay to see Tim Tebow play. Yeah. I want a show. When I go to a sporting event, I want a show. Because win or lose, I want to be entertained. Because right now, like, you're competing with movie theaters and events and concerts and everything like that. And I'm not just there, and I know that we all love the Rough Riders in football, but at the end of the day, win or lose, I want to have a good time.
Yeah.
And I can have that in Pill Country.
Sure.
Any game, I can have that in Pill Country. But as a whole, right now, I'm up in the stands. I want to have fun. Make it fun for me. So bring in Tim Tebow and Icebox.
Let's expand this beyond football players. Because Big Country, Bryant Reeves, who used to play for the Vancouver Grizzlies, is a big boy.
Sure.
Put him at fullback. He's getting, you know, third and ones all day long.
And legitimately anyone, and anyone from the WWE/F, past or present, I would pay to watch. The 1-2-3 kid, get out there, make it happen.
MXPX or whatever, DMX.
Yeah, they're like the rapper?
No, I don't know. What was the name of the, like?
I think he's talking Generation X.
Oh, DX. Oh, yeah, DX, yeah, like, sure. Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
I don't know.
Tatanka.
I didn't get to watch wrestling.
Like Bam Bam Bigelow on the O-line? Like, guys, come on. Like, we've got a league here.
Yokozuna? Come on. No one's getting past him.
Let's do that.
We're talking about Keanu Reeves, because that would sell tickets.
Yes. Yeah, and if it was classic Keanu Reeves. And again.
No, I want the Matrix Keanu Reeves, because that guy had moves.
Oh, I was thinking Bill.
The guy goes to tackle him, and he has the ball.
Exactly,
and just, right?
Yeah, he just, like, distorts his body. And
yeah, I mean, this is not going to be a popular opinion, but I think it's worth considering. But Nicolas Cage has a lot of eyeballs, right? It's weird, it's uncomfortable, but he needs an outlet for something.
Do you know who would actually be great for the Riders? Premier Scott Moe. I mean, we just saw him at the McMorris charity softball tournament.
Right.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And he's strong.
And
so,
and he won too. Like, and they were the winners.
Yeah.
His team. So
his team did win.
So. I don't think he loses, you know, in sports.
Is that kind of like the Russians with Putin when he plays? You kind of let him win?
But, I mean, no, the team that they were playing really wanted to win.
And they were serious softball players. That team, I think they went undefeated.
Undefeated. They threw a two-hitter
in a softball?
Mm-hmm.
In slow pitch. So,
the team they were playing pitched a one-hitter before the final.
Like, I think it was a two-hitter. Yeah, that was them.
Oh, that was
so Scott Moe's team beat the team that threw a two-hitter in slow pitch.
In slow pitch.
Which is close to impossible if you've ever played slow pitch. And if you haven't, huh? Like, right? We all have.
What does Rider Pride mean to you as Rider fans?
I mean, I grew up in Saskatoon. It was my childhood from like 0 to 11. And then I came back here. My wife lives here from Regina. Everyone that lives and spend time in Saskatchewan talks about how great the people are. For me, Rider Pride is the ability to come together as a community and celebrate something that is amazing. It's our only, was our only professional sports team. And we have been proud of this thing for over a century. That's insane to have only won 4 times in over 100 years. That's almost impossible, guys, with a math of like 1 in 8 every year. That's literally breaking the odds in the wrong way. And still people continue to wear the hats. In Mexico, you can go on the tours and you get like Mexican Riders paraphernalia. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
The ponchos and the masks and everything.
Yeah, like the whole thing doesn't make any sense, but it's from here. I'm like, this is the power of a community of people that just care about something so deeply. I don't understand it. I probably never will, but I'm proud to be a part of it.
I think it's special to see something like sports, and especially in this province, where we have people with such different backgrounds and ideologies, religious beliefs, you know, leaning left, leaning right. But when it comes to our Rider Pride, everybody pretty much is on the same page behind that. And I think that's just something that's so special. And if we could take that lesson and apply it to more things in our life and finding common ground, you know, we'd all be better for it. And I remember being a kid and watching the TV, you know, whatever, like telethon to raise money to keep the Riders in the province. And, you know, hearing about people from Australia and Japan and seeing that all over the world. And that made a big impression on me as a kid growing up here to go, oh, like this thing is sacred in some kind of way. You know, that the team and the ideology and that we all come behind it is, it's special. And I mean, the thing that bugs me is people who are just insanely negative all the time about the team and can never be happy enough, where I'm like, there are other places, Vegas being one of them. They didn't have a professional sports team for, I think, like 115 years. No professional sports team
at all.
I mean, they had a CFL team, but in the States, they apparently don't count that as a professional sports team. No. That's a different conversation.
XFL, too,
I think. Even to have one is pretty special and neat. So I think we should be thankful and grateful, but it's also okay to complain every once in a while.
Yeah, so. And now we have 3. We've got the Rush, we've got the Riders, and of course, we've got the Golden Knights. So
it's great. That's
great. We're going to have 4 right away, the new basketball team that's going to be out of Saskatoon.
The Rattlers, named after a craft beer. Kind of cool.
All right.
And finally for you guys, what's next for you guys?
Oh, my goodness.
It's a little bit late right now. Probably bed, an ice cold water, hopefully an early rise tomorrow. No, we get asked all the time. Right now, it's Jimmy Fallon's focus. We need to chip off Jimmy Fallon here in the next, I would say, month, probably before mid-September. We'd like to do that. And then who knows? Like, hockey season starts up again in October.
Yeah.
And we literally, we have a list of things we want to accomplish and say like, okay, this is the next crazy adventure we want to do. And so we just don't know. And we're just open to seeing whatever happens and reacting to it and just going there. So
whatever it is, our goal is we want to achieve the impossible. And we've already had some things where we're like, you know, if you had ever told us like, hey guys, you're going to film a video in your basement and it's going to be used as the intro in the entertainment capital of the world for the game 5 of the Stanley Cup final, we're just like, that's impossible. Like literally impossible. They're going to call Britney Spears or Cher or Thunder Down Under or, you know, somebody to do the intro, not us. And so we want to continue to go, how can we do impossible things from, you know, here in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and be audacious in being able to do that and not always remain humble to who we are, but also not let that kind of hold people back around here. So
We're the underdogs. I think we get that and we love that. So it's like, you know what? Well, we're not supposed to win.
I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll be hanging out with the Queen, you know.
Should go on the list, actually.
Yeah, you know, that'd be fun.
Don't cut her off either.
Don't
people
cut
hate
her
that.
Off when you're, you know, walking in front of her to, I don't know.
Literally, who knows?
Who knows?
She might have learned a lesson, though. If you cut her off, she might, like, poke you on the one side and you look that way and she'll cut right back around, right?
Yeah, she's
imagine
dodgy.
Wearing a tennis banner on the Queen. That would be a moment.
That would be a special moment.
I look forward to it.
Justin and Greg here on the Piffles Podcast. You guys can find more about these guys. Easy to find, right? Just Justin and Greg.
Justin and A-N-D, Greg, right. On any platform, with the exception of Snapchat, Musical.ly, High Five, MySpace.
Yeah.
Everything else, we're there, though.
Yeah.
Even a podcast. Justin and Greg podcast is out now, too.
Yeah, so. We're having fun with that. So
thanks so much, guys, for joining us.
You guys are the best.